Colossians 2, 6 through 7, we've been reading this every week. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him, establishing your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Lord, I just pray for the church today. I pray in Jesus' name that you open up our hearts. Lord, I just pray that what you have for us, that we get filled up on the things of you. Lord, a lot of us need to be emptied of ourselves and be filled up with you. Lord, we take up too much of our own room, and we need more of you in our lives. And I just pray in Jesus' name for this moment and this time, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can grab a seat. We've been doing worship and prayer and Bible reading, just talking about grow up, and it's back to the basics. And we talk about altars. And next week, we're going to talk about helping others grow up a little bit in a generation. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. It's really interesting because it's one of those things where people, it's kind of different camps when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Some people are like, we just need the more of the Holy Spirit, and they just want to talk about. Some people don't know much about it. We're just like, I don't even know where to go from here. And then some people are just, because they've seen conversations about the Holy Spirit being just kind of mistreated, they feel almost like a little apprehensive about it. But I'm just going to share a few quotes with you. I want to share. D.L. Moody says this. He says, the Spirit of God first imparts love. The Holy Spirit first imparts love, next inspires hope, and then gives liberty. And that is about the last thing we have, a good many of our churches have at this time, is hope, love, and liberty. And we need the Holy Spirit back in our churches. William Booth is the founder of the Salvation Army Church, said this many years ago. He says, the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit. It's interesting because the Holy Ghost, when you hear those phrases like Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, kind of sometimes, even this time right now of Halloween, throws up some even, anything that has to do with ghosts, almost a bit eerie, our sense of this kind of thing, our just questioning. But I want to say this. Here's what I want to say. The Trinity, which is the Godhead of three, which I'll explain in a second, is with the Holy Spirit with there, is not, it's meant to be the Trinity, which is meant to be the three Godhead. It's not meant to be a third wheel situation. Anybody ever been on a date and you're the third wheel? Or, you know what I'm saying? You just feel like really awkward, like there's a third person here. What's going on? And that's not the role of the Holy Spirit to make things feel awkward. The gift of the Holy Spirit is to make things more, you know what I'm saying, more life. And so it's what I find very interesting talking about this is if there's three parts, but yet we're missing one of the parts, it's like if you ignore one third of the Godhead, you function only in two-thirds capacity. Because I really believe in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to speak through us and to us. And so, a couple of things. One, the Holy Spirit, we believe that in the Trinity, there's Father God, there's Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And some people, when I actually spoke to a little kids about this when I was a youth pastor. I had to do a kid's Sunday school class, and some little kid raised their hand and goes, can you explain that? And I'm like, okay, here we go. And so, it is confusing, and this is an analogy I heard when I was a kid, so it made sense to me. It's almost like the sun in the sky. It's like the sun is God, and the light of the sun is Jesus, and the warmth is the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting to me, and that really, I mean, it's more to it than that, but that really made a picture in my head of how this kind of all works in my head. But one thing I want to say is this, is the word holy and spirit. You can't take the word holy out of spirit. And now you can say spirit by itself, but the reason it's so important because the word holy actually comes from the word holistic. And I actually just talked about this in a wedding a few weeks ago. The word holistic is really important because holistic means everything. It doesn't mean because what happens within a church, sometimes we put boxes in the way we live. You're saying, well, this is my church life, and this is how I'm going to be at church. This is my work life. This is how I am at work. This is my work person. This is who I'm at home. This is who I'm at with my kids. This is who I'm at with my friends who like to go out and party. Here I am with, you know what I'm saying, by myself. And what the word holistic means, when he says that you want to be holy like God the Father's holy, it's not saying that you need to be perfect. It's just that you need to be all together, working together. Is that making sense? It's not that Jerry is one person at work as he is one person here. He's saying he is serving the same God where he's at, and he's trying to lift up God every place he's at. Is that making sense? So the Holy Spirit's working our life all together in every area of our life. And so what's interesting is that's how it works. John 4:23 says this, "Yet a time is coming, and now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of the worshipers that the Father seeks." Now, I want to point this out to you. Many years ago, one of my mentors came up to me, and he said, this is what he says. He says, "You need to balance out spirit and truth." Now, here's what I feel like growing up. There's a lot of churches that may have spirit, but they don't have truth. And there's a lot of churches that may have truth, but no spirit. And he says, what if you can work together the spirit and the truth? What if, how that works together? Because here's what he said. If you only have spirit and no truth, you flare up. If you only have truth and no spirit, you dry up. But if you balance out truth and spirit, you grow up. And I really believe in our time, I believe that God wants to impart to us new things. And so it's interesting, the concept of Trinity is just working together. But one of the things I want to mention is, we always think, well, the Holy Spirit's something new. But in Genesis 1:2, it says this, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Hovering over the waters. I'm going to read this. The whole Trinity was involved in creation. God the Father, the Creator, created the world through Jesus by the Spirit. And here the Spirit of God is hovering, waiting to bring something new. The Holy Spirit brings out of the chaos, and he brings cosmos. Out of the disorder, he brings order. Out of confusion, harmony. Out of deformity, beauty. Out of oldness, he brings newness. And here the Spirit of God is hovering, waiting to bring new things to life. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life." It's interesting because when you take that word breath, we even learned this at Youth Convention, that word breath actually is a word called ruach, which is in Hebrew, ruach means breath and new life. It means hovering over and bringing new creation. Because I can ask you right now, in your life, as you think about it, who in your life right now needs something to become new all over again? Raise your hand. You need something new in your relationships. You need something new, and you need a freshness in your heart. You need something new to happen. And this is where it begins to happen. John 14:16-17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another one called the Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because of neither he sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And so it's interesting, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, within them, and breathe within them. So today I'm going to say a few things. I'm going to go through this really fast because I want to spend some time in prayer this morning, because if you're like me, we just need to be filled up. Because I come to church, and you have a crazy week, and part of this is just taking steps and saying, God, I need a fresh newness in my life today. And so here's some simple things, and they're really not simple, but here's some steps, and it's not like an order of steps, but I believe what the Holy Spirit is and it is to us. Is that making sense? So number one, the Holy Spirit is, and what he does, Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. And I want to point this out, and I've heard this said before, the dove is always pointing towards the lamb. No matter what we do in life, it's about what Jesus did on the cross. I'm telling you, even through the creation of time, it's always pointing to what Jesus did on the cross and everything we do. Centers on the fact that I am the one who cannot save myself. I'm the one who cannot redeem yourself. It's because of what Jesus did on a cross that saves a wretch like me. It's interesting because its mission is to exalt the Lord. Holy Spirit works to glorify God, to bring attention to his to Christ magnified. Well, that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to magnify what Jesus did. And so that's just a simple thing. Number two is this. The Holy Spirit comforts us. Comforts us. John 14, 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he will abide in you forever." The Holy Spirit is your helper and comforter. And I'm not just talking about a comforter on your bed, even though that's a nice comforter, right? Those are nice too. I'm talking about in the midst of a situation that you don't know what's going on, there is a peace that passes all understanding that you don't know about, that he comforts us in those situations. The Holy Spirit comforts us. So it's interesting. I will be honest with you. One of the things, when I was a youth pastor on a mission trip, one of my kids kept on saying, "I'm going to step out." And this kid felt led to go pray with somebody. And he says, I'm not going to do it. I feel uncomfortable. And I'm like, "Hi." This is what I said. I'm not saying it was appropriate, but this is what I said. I was very honest, and I said, "Why would you need a comforter if you're already comfortable?" And I said, "Just do it. Just go. If God's asking you to go do it, just go do it." And I just said, "Step out, because, and if you step out, the Lord will comfort you and be with you." I love it how it says. It's interesting, because if you remember about a year ago, I did a whole series on shepherding. Anybody remember that series on shepherding? One of the things I talked about was the shepherd would actually carry oil on their satchel. They would carry oil, because what would happen is sheep would get these like sheep flies in their nose. And this is pretty gross. But sheep actually have these flies that hover around them, and they go up their nostrils. And when they go up their nostril, they lay eggs, and they lay things, and it becomes irritated. And sheep, if it's not taken care of, this becomes such a bad thing, because they start beating their heads against fences to take care of it and to start scratching. So what the shepherd does is he carries oil, and he literally, what he does is he pours oil into the cavities of the sheep, and what it does is it kills all that. It brings comfort to the sheep. Is that making sense? It's interesting, because the word oil in Scripture is a typology of the Holy Spirit, which means here to comfort us. And in some situations, if you're like me, you go in a situation, you just want to beat your head against a wall, right? You're like, "Why am I doing this?" But then the Holy Spirit comes in. And I'm telling you, people say, "Well, does the Holy Spirit just work on church?" No, when you're in a situation and you feel like you want to fire an employee, and you go to him and you're saying, "God, how am I supposed to share? What am I supposed to say?" And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit and the Lord starts saying, "Calm down. Here we go." You know what I'm saying? It starts comforting you and giving you the words to share. It's interesting, because that's, you know, there's that sense of relief, immediate relief. But it's cool about it. I will come back to this, but the shepherd not just does it once, but he continues to do it to his sheep to make sure it doesn't keep on happening. I'll come back to that in a second. It's interesting. Number three is this. The Holy Spirit is there to counsel you. It means it's an intercessor. It means it's your advocate. That means it's a counselor. That means it gives you wisdom. It means it helps you to handle situations. John 16:7 says, "But it is actually best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor won't come." It says, "If I go away, he will come, because I will send him to you." John 14:26 says, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said." John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Listen, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And people will say, "Well, isn't that just my conscience? Isn't that just my inner voice?" The Holy Spirit speaks to you. I'm telling you, when you walk in the Lord and you say, "God, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life." And the Holy Spirit invades you and starts becoming part of you. I'm telling you, in this room, there is people in this room right now that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you quite a bit. And you recognize the voice. You're just not sure how to define all this yet. Is that making sense? Like, this is just like, and I'm telling you, it's cool, because here's what I find awesome. As I'm talking to people in this room who are either new in the faith and there's stuff going on, and I'm talking about this in a second, there is gifts that are being put inside of your heart. There's people in this room who have discernment. There's people in this room who have prophecy within their heart. There's people in here that have these things going on, and you're just not sure how it looks or how it works in your life. And this is the kind of conversations that we need to begin to have. Next one is this. The Holy Spirit, number four, convicts us. It says, John 16:8 says, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt. He will convict us. I find this really interesting. As a pastor, of course, if I need to confront, I will. But what's more better than me than confronting is allowing the Holy Spirit to do it in your own life. Listen, I believe when you follow the Lord and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's conviction that begins to happen. When you go into the Lord's presence, something has to give. There's a correction. Galatians 5:16-17 says, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are at conflict with each other, so that you do what you do not want to do. It's personal conviction that begins to happen. Number five is this, and I love this, the Holy Spirit guides you. One of my mentors and people in my life always said, you're led by the Spirit, it guides you. The Holy Spirit comes to inspire, to equip ordinary people to do the work that he's called you to do. It guides you. It's interesting because if you can put that picture of the GPS up there, this is what I find really awesome. Is that on my phone, I don't know, if you're like me, the only person I have phone memorized, phone number, is like my wife's, I don't know any, 911. I don't know anybody else's phone number. These cell phones have really screwed me up. Back in the day when you had those big rotary phones, remember that? Like, you would literally, if you kids don't know this, this is how it would work. You would literally put your finger in there and you would move as electricity current move through your fingers. Not really, but literally, you would have to move this dial, and if you want to talk, privacy meant that you had an extra long cord, and you would go hang out in a closet while you had a private conversation. And everybody you called, you memorized their phone numbers, right? You probably still remember phone, but now in the day, our phones have everything in them. One of the things it has is GPS. I don't even know how to get people's houses, because I just put their GPS address in, and I just go. And what's cool about that is, here's how it begins to happen. I put the number, I put the address in there, put the location in there, and I put it on my dash, and then I listen to this beautiful young lady's voice tell me, turn right here. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I get really annoyed by it, so mine's on mute. My wife, this is kind of funny. My wife asked me a few weeks ago, why don't you put that girl's voice on? And I said, I don't need all these girls telling me what to do all the time. I'm good with this. And so it's interesting is that and here's what I believe. It's because we're going in a direction, and it may not be the direction we're supposed to go, and that little voice comes on the GPS and says, do a U-turn up here and go back. Turn over here. And it's always trying to get you back in the direction you're supposed to be going all the time. This is how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And sometimes we don't even realize it. One of my favorite songs is Garth Brooks. Anybody else like Garth Brooks in here? And the song is Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And so, of course, for thankful ones. But how many times in our life were we going in a direction that we wanted something so bad and it didn't work out? And we say, thank God that never worked out. Because sometimes it's like what I said about Jonah. All of a sudden we're going in a direction. A whale comes, takes us in a different direction. And we change direction, not because of just, it just happened. It's because the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing our lives into the path that we're supposed to go. It's like a GPS saying, we got to go in this direction. You got to go back in this direction. And it's interesting because we got to keep on flowing this. We got to keep on saying, we got to step out and say, God, you know what I'm saying? I won't ever forget a Sunday morning service. She's been going to share this. Sarah, Audio Ocean, can you just raise your hand? Everybody knows because this is fun. Yeah, she hates when I do this. But I won't ever forget a service on a Sunday morning. We're talking about raising money for the hub. And she comes to me after service. And did I ever once mention the roof or anything, asphalt or anything. She literally comes up to me. I'm sharing, hey, we're going to do a big gift Sunday. This is like a year and a half ago. We're going to do this. After service, she walks me. She goes, I feel like the Lord spoke to me. Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, is there anything going on with the roof at the hub? Anything going on with the concrete? Anything going off the floors? What's going on with that stuff? I said, the parking lot and the roof, we don't have budget for. She's like, okay, I feel like the Lord told me I should do something about it. That next morning, she wakes up, gets ready for work, and she starts cold calling companies to see if they can help us with our roof. Was the first phone call? Second phone call in that range. She found a guy, and most of us, can I just be honest, even me included, would be like, hey, I'm just calling from my church and blah, 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 and this is, I just, you know what I'm saying, maybe I say I feel led. But here's what she said. Hey, my name is Sarah. I was in church yesterday, and the Lord spoke to me, and said that I need to start cold calling people and tell them that you need to help us with our hub. So, like, I'm like, are you serious? And this was crazy. That's crazy. You know what's more crazy? It worked. We have a free roof on our hub because she was led by the Spirit to make a phone call. You know what I'm saying? And anybody thinking, well, that's crazy. We are guided by that still small voice. It's amazing. It's amazing. What's interesting about this is John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit, comes in truth, Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into truth. Next one is this: the Holy Spirit empowers us. I really believe in my weakness, he is made strong. I can just tell you over and over and over again. Can I just tell you my prayer? I come early every Sunday morning. This is what I do. I come early. I won't tell you what time. I come early every Sunday morning, and I walk around this room. I walk around the hallways. I'll walk around. And we just got, I was at youth convention. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? It's a busy week. And I literally start walking the hallways, and I lift my hands up, and I say, God, fill up this place. Fill up my heart. I'm tired. Fill me up. Lord, we need you this morning. We need you in this place. I need you to empower me this morning. I may not feel like it, but it doesn't matter if I feel like it or not. Lord, I need you this morning. And it begins to start praying it out, because it says in Philippians, it says, he will supply us with his Spirit. He will supply us. It's interesting because having the Holy Spirit infuses us and powers. Now I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to write this down. God didn't send the Holy Spirit to just give you thrills and chills. He sent you the Spirit to empower you to reach people and to do his work. It's interesting, but the spiritual gift is a supernatural ability. They say the spiritual gift is a supernatural ability to do something that you didn't think you could do. 1 Corinthians, this is going to be up on over, and I want you to read this. 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 11 says, now there are a variety of gifts. And I'm saying this because I believe in our lives that the Holy Spirit wants to work through you. You guys remember that illustration they used a few weeks ago about a windmill? There's a giant windmill. You know what I'm saying? That it's those giant turbine windmills that when the wind comes and move them, it produces power. The power goes out. I believe we have the privilege and honor to be used by God to do what he has called us to do. Like, we are used by the Lord to do what he's called us to do. But we in ourselves don't create power. We are just vessels that the Lord can work through. Is that making sense? I believe God uses us to spring life and break life and bring that power to people. Amen? That God uses us in these ways. And so it says the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians. It says, now there's a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them to all people. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit that comes in common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, the gift of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, the special knowledge that you know in these situations, according to the same Spirit. To another is another faith, the same faith and Spirit. I mean, there's like a supernatural faith. You've been with somebody, and all of a sudden you feel like, I don't know, and you're with this person, you're like, I can do this. This is amazing. Like, there's something, you just feel empowered by it with this person. To another, gifts of healing. Can I tell you right now, yes, we pray for healing, but there are certain people, when they lay their hands on somebody, crazy things begins to happen. Healings begin to happen. And then to another, the working of the miracles. To another, prophecy. I believe in this room, there's people who you may feel things, or God has called you to pray through things, or God has called you, you're seeing things that's hard to share. And to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, which is called discernment. And some people in this room can say, oh, this is not where you can go in a situation and you know this is not the direction, this is not healthy. To another, the kinds of tongues, speaking in tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. And all these things are empowered, even the tongues, which is not common knowledge. It's just flowing in that spirit of a voice. But it's interesting because those things are individual things that God is saying, this is for you. And we, listen, in our spirit have to discover what God is doing, what is unique to you. What does God want to do in your life? Because I believe in this room, you may have a prophetic gift, but you don't know how to use your prophetic voice yet. Is that making sense? And working that out. And how do we do this? By studying the Bible, by asking God to show us the gifts, by examining what to enjoy, by taking spiritual gift tests, by doing these things. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift and this great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve. Listen, not to glorify yourself, not to make yourself great, but to serve one another. You use your spiritual gift to lift him up, to bring people to serve one another. And I says it's, and I'm just going to, my last point's come up, but I want to share this. I've had this, I see pictures, and I know this sounds crazy, but this is just the way my mind works. I will pray for a while, and I might see a picture, and God speaks to me through pictures in my head, and it just happens. And one of the pictures I've seen for the last 3 years, and I cannot get it out. And here's what it is. I actually showed this with a few couples about their marriage, and I just cannot get, but I believe it's for our church too. As I see a house that's on this good foundation, and I see the walls of this house up, and I see the walls, and like there's a one-story house on this foundation. And I feel like I see people come in and taking down the walls. And I keep on thinking that's a negative, like what's going on. But in the last few months, here's what I've been hearing in my spirit. It's not a negative. The house that was built was too small to contain what God wants to do. The foundation was good, but the house is too small, and so we need to go higher. Which means we got to take down the walls, not start over again. Start over again means a new foundation. We got the foundation, but he says we need to go more stories. Is that making sense? And now listen, I'm still learning what this means in my own heart, but this is what I feel God is speaking to me. It may not even be for you, and I'm just sharing in my own heart. I feel like God is speaking to us. There is things that I'm telling you right now, there's pictures that maybe you've seen over this last few years, and like, I don't even know what that means. I don't even know if this makes sense. And I'm telling you, maybe there's words. And I'm just telling you, question you can ask, is this of the Lord? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Is this of the Lord? Last point is this, and we're going to close. Look at the worship team up here. Number 7, I think this is the most important thing. The Holy Spirit fills us up. Ephesians 5:15-18 says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand that the Lord wants you to do. Don't be just drunk with wine and do whatever, but because this will ruin the life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's saying just be careful with your mind. Be careful what you do. And he says, in Acts 13:52, it says, and the disciples were continually filled with joy. And here's what I want to say to this is, one is, it's just like that sheep illustration that the shepherd kept on pouring the oil in. He's saying, continually be filled. I think what happens so often is that we come into a setting and we say, Lord, I need you, fill me up, and fill me up in this moment. But what begins to happen, it's like if I'm carrying a coffee cup and I'm walking through the hallways and I'm not paying attention, what happens is, if you're like me and you're clumsy, some of it's going to spill out. You won't end with how much you started. Because in life, certain things just kind of spill out. Certain things just kind of lose. And it's interesting because we continually need to be filled up. We continually need to be filled up and say, God, fill me up this morning. I think what happens is that, listen, it's not wrong, but I think we try so many things in our own strength and we go into situations using just our own power. We're not led by the Lord. We're not led in prayer. And what begins to happen is when you look in the mirror, all eyes up here, you need to catch this. When you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and God maybe asks you to do something, you're like, I can't do it. I can't do it. But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you and gives you strength, something begins to rise within you. Can I just tell you something that hit me just a few weeks ago? Jesus didn't just come so you can go to heaven. Jesus came so he can put heaven inside of you. So you can be filled up with his presence. You know what I hear a lot? I hear people say all the time, well, I wish I had what Moses had. He had a burning bush experience. Can you imagine? Dark. Can you imagine going to work tomorrow and all of a sudden at the tree outside your place, all of a sudden there's a burning tree and the Lord is speaking and saying, dar. That's almost like a pirate, but you know what I'm saying? But he's saying, come here. You know what I'm saying? You're like, yes. And you would know, because here's the thing. If there's a tree speaking to you on fire, I mean, you know that's the Lord, right? Like, that's something. And some of people say, well, I just want to know it's the Lord. I just want to know it's him. I just need to know, is this really you? Is this really what you're asking me to do? Is this really what you want me to do? And I'm trying to tell you, honestly, if Moses was alive today, he'd be saying this, I wish I had what you had. Because when Jesus came, he took away the altars, he ripped the veil, and he said, no longer do you have to go to the temple. No longer do you have to get, listen, no longer do you have to be perfect. No longer do you have to have your whole life in order. You can come to me with a mess. You can come to me in a mess. You can come to me imperfect. You can come to me lost. You can come to me just the way you are and just say, come to me. And he says, listen, and I will come to you. And he says, not only do you need a burning bush outside, but also when it begins to happen, a burning bush begins to happen inside your heart, and your heart begins to be aflamed. And that's what begins to happen. What the Holy Spirit wants to do to us is set our hearts on fire. Burn within us. I'm telling you, here's what this picture, I want to show you this because I find this picture fascinating. Fascinating. Here's why. Because we ask the Lord to fill us up. And I can just see this hand of water coming in, filling us up, and I'm leaking, I'm emptied out, I need to fill it up, and he comes. And now the picture of it is so funny because you're thinking, is this all the Lord has for me? And then you notice there's an ocean. And God says, listen, I have more. You've only been working in a certain capacity, but I have more for you. And I'm telling you, this is me being honest. I'll be honest with you. I like the version of me better when I'm filled up. I just like the version of me better when I feel the Lord's presence on me and I'm filled up in his presence. There's just something that brings life to it. And can I just tell you right now, there is some dead things in your heart. There are some dead things in your life that, number one, we need to empty out. We need to empty, get those things out. We need to surrender, repent, whatever it is, get those things out so we can make room for the Lord in our lives. Everybody just stand up this morning. We're going to jump into this. I'm going to share a personal story that I shared before. When I was in college I went to Evangel College for 2 years, and when I was down there, can I just be honest with you? I was called into ministry. I knew that, but I didn't love the Lord. I didn't really care for lost people. I was a freshman in college, and I just kind of was like, I came to church, but I just wasn't following the Lord. I just didn't care. I'll be honest with you. I just didn't care. And I was at a church service, and I said, God, I need something to break in my heart. I need something. I need you to do something fresh because right now I'm not doing good. And I went to the prayer room at our school, and I sat down and knelt. And it was one of the first times I saw a picture in my head. And this presence came over me, and I saw this picture in my head. And I mentioned this before on a Sunday morning, so you might have heard this. But it was a picture of a glass vase. And this glass vase was filled with, like, sewage and mucky water, dirty water. And then 1/4 of the top was like crystal clear water. And I asked the Lord, I said, what does this mean? I thought, and he said right away, he says, this is your life right now. He says, you asked me to fill you up. And he says, I will, but I can only fill you up as much as you have room for it. And he says, it's time to get emptied. And at that moment, I just began to surrender. I said, God, I need to get rid of this. And listen, a lot of stuff in my life wasn't evil. It was just taken away from the best. And I just started surrendering this, and I started surrendering this, and I started lifting this up. And here's what began to happen. A few minutes later, as I was just crying and weeping, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, and I saw a picture again of a glass vase that was getting clearer, and I could see a light behind it shining through. And I feel like the Lord just said to me, listen, you empty it out, and I will fill it up, but make room for me. And I believe in our hearts that we just need to empty ourselves up to make room for the Lord. Amen? I believe with all my heart that God wants to give you strength. God wants to give you faith. God wants to give you words of knowledge. God wants to be with you in situations. And these things, God, Holy Spirit wants to speak life into you. And I believe, listen, your prayer will change. Your Bible reading will change. These things will change. But I just believe it doesn't happen by, you know, just seeking. It happens by worshiping the Lord. So here's my prayer this morning. As we go into worship this morning, here's what we need to pray. This is what I pray. God, whatever you want to do in me, do in me. God, whatever you want to speak to me, speak in me. Whatever you want me to surrender, reveal to me. Whatever you want me to lay down, show me. Whatever you want me to do, you know what I'm saying? Lead me and guide me. Whatever I need to do.